This is Capital Insider, an insider's guide to Oklahoma politics and policy. I'm Dick Pryor with eCapital News Director Sean Ashley. Sean, the fiscal year 2018 state budget is up in the air due to legal challenges. Lawyers representing those opposing the budget deal have cited several problems with the legislation.
Right now, there are three lawsuits pending that challenge various bills that fund the 2018 budget. The tobacco companies, some local wholesalers and retailers are challenging the tobacco cessation fee, $1.50 per pack, that would be used to fund smoking cessation programs. The Auto Dealers Association, a group of auto dealers and a citizen, are challenging the sales tax on automobiles, which took effect July 1st and imposes a 1.25% sales tax on the purchase of an automobile. And finally, Oklahoma gubernatorial candidate Gary Richardson is challenging three bills: the sales tax on motor vehicles, a fee on electric and hybrid motor vehicles, and the freeze of the standard deductions. In each case, the plaintiffs in these cases indicate that the bills violated Article 5, Section 3 of the Oklahoma Constitution, which sets forth standards for the passage of revenue measures.
And those measures all came up in the waning days of the legislative session as lawmakers were trying to fill an $878 million budget hole.
For the most part, that's true. In the case of Gary Richardson's challenge, the fee on electric and hybrid cars was passed earlier in the legislative session. But one of the components of the Article 5, Section 33 requirements is that a measure receive three-quarters approval in each chamber or be approved by a vote of the people. That bill did not receive three-quarters approval in either chamber, and therefore he alleges that it violates Article 5, Section 33.
This scenario is not unusual. In fact, Michael Ridgway, the former general counsel for the State Insurance Department, has opposed the budget on similar grounds. Michael, you did that in 2010, right? And won.
That's correct. In 2010, the legislature passed a health access payment. They passed it in the last 5 days of the legislative session. They did not have a supermajority of three-fourths of both houses, and we challenged that and were successful. The Oklahoma Supreme Court ruled that it violated the Oklahoma Constitution.
What did the Supreme Court focus on?
The initial issue that they have to determine is whether or not it's a revenue bill. And essentially, it's a distinction between a fee and a tax. And so I asked them to take a look at the fee versus tax issue from the perspective of the taxpayer. If you pay a fee, you expect to get something, a direct benefit back from it. If you pay a tax, you may or may not get a direct benefit, but at least some of the money is going to fund other things that you're not getting a direct benefit from.
Sean, the money that is expected to be generated through the tobacco cessation fee and the vehicle sales tax repeal, where is that money heading?
Well, in the case of the tobacco cessation fee, that money goes into a special fund designated primarily for tobacco cessation efforts. As Governor Mary Fallon has talked about several times in her State of the State address, and this was actually a proposal she put forth back in February. Smoking remains a problem in the state of Oklahoma, and more needs to be done to combat it, she said. This money would go into that fund, and then it's appropriated to really four state agencies. $1 million comes off the top to the Alcoholic Beverage Law Enforcement Commission, which enforces tobacco sales to minors efforts, and then the remainder of the money is appropriated to the Department of Human Services, the Oklahoma Healthcare Authority, and the Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services. In the case of the sales tax on motor vehicles, that money goes into the General Revenue Fund and was then appropriated to all state agencies, essentially.
Michael, while it's true that smoking is a problem in Oklahoma, there is already a program, well-funded program, in place to combat smoking. Indeed, what it is intended to do is to encourage people to stop smoking.
That's right. The Tobacco Settlement Endowment Trust exists for that exact purpose.
So is that problematic that there is already a system in place which is funded outside of this tobacco cessation fee that was recently passed?
I don't know that it's problematic in the sense that if the state wants to redouble its efforts in tobacco cessation and prevention, but I do think that it's problematic if the state's going to say that this is not additional revenue.
And that was a key concern as this bill in particular moved through the legislative process was that it would help fund agencies for which they were having trouble coming up with money. As you'll recall, we had an $878 million budget hole. And when you look at how they balance the budget, this bill is listed among those that provided additional revenue to help fill that hole.
But how does that help the state of Oklahoma when you're just dedicating that particular money for those state agencies and you're already doing tobacco cessation? It doesn't appear to be going actually into the general revenue fund.
One thing it does is it means that other monies which they would have appropriated from the general revenue fund to those type of programs in those agencies don't have to be appropriated. So it does potentially frees up some general revenue fund money. And when you look at the various programs within these agencies, particularly mental health and the Oklahoma Healthcare Authority, which operates the state's Medicaid program, much of the cost associated with Medicaid are the results of our poor health outcomes. And one of the causes of our poor health outcomes is smoking. So I believe an argument could be made there that there's a relationship, and it frees up money that otherwise would have had to have been appropriated to them to provide those services.
Michael, the tobacco cessation fee money would go to fund state agencies. Why can't the TSET money for tobacco cessation be used for the budget?
The TSET money is a constitutional account that is dedicated for certain purposes, and it can't just be diverted to fill a budget hole in the state budget.
So you can't just take money out of TSET, put it over here, and say we're good?
No, you cannot.
And over the years, the TSET money has been used to fund the tobacco cessation hotline, where people can call and get help to quit smoking. It's used to fund various research programs and other Healthy Oklahoma initiatives across the state. If you look at some of the advertising we see on television encouraging us to be more active, that's produced by the state health department, some of that funding comes from TSET. And as Michael said, it's constitutionally limited to those purposes. So they simply can't give that to the healthcare authority or mental health and substance abuse services or any other agency as they have the money from the tobacco cessation fee.
Are those agencies doing tobacco cessation outside of TSET? In other words, is this money going to support programs that they need money for that are currently in progress?
Well, I think when you look at the Oklahoma Healthcare Authority, for example, which provides Medicaid services throughout the state, one of the key problems, as Governor Mary Fallon has pointed out, is our high rate of smoking, which then contributes to poor health outcomes, and a lot of those people receive care through the state's Medicaid program. So the money, whether it's being used to help them quit or simply provide medical services, will be related to smoking cessation. The Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services also has some smoking-related programs that this money could be used to fund. The interesting one for me is the Department of Human Services. What smoking cessation programs they may have that money from the cessation fee would go to.
Michael, how do you think that the state budget can be helped by adding this money that is supposed to go to a particular purpose, the tobacco cessation fee, as opposed to money that just goes into the general revenue fund that could be used for various purposes?
Well, I don't think that the cigarette fee is actually going to help the state budget. I think that it just creates a new spending program.
When you look at the way lawmakers chose to put this on the ledger, so to speak, they included the money from the tobacco cessation fee and the special fund it goes into in the total appropriations for each of these agencies. In doing that, what that means is that this money comes with strings attached, as you were referring a moment ago. It comes with ties to tobacco cessation efforts and the health problems associated with it. So the use of the money is limited, although it shows up in their total count of dollars that they have. Did that help them fill the budget hole? Perhaps. Does it limit how they can spend that money? Certainly.
Michael, do you see any reason for the Oklahoma Supreme Court to rule differently this time than it did in the 2010 case that you argued?
Well, I don't. But I think when you get lawyers in the room and they start arguing nuance, the court could possibly pick on something different, but when I look at it, the issues seem to be essentially the same as they were in the case that I argued back in 2010.
And so do you expect the Supreme Court to rule the same way?
I do expect the Supreme Court to rule the same way, yes. I expect that they will determine that these are revenue bills and that they were passed in contradiction of the Oklahoma Constitution.
And what does that do to the state budget?
Well, it removes those funds from the state budget and leaves a big hole to fill.
And one of the differences between now and 2010, when Mr. Ridgway won his case, was that those monies from the insurance fee were going to the Oklahoma, essentially to the Oklahoma Healthcare Authority, to help provide Medicaid services. This was as we were coming out of the Great Recession, and there was still federal money available to help states that were coming up short in providing various services, including health care through their Medicaid programs. We were able to offset the revenue loss that occurred when that fee was struck down as unconstitutional. In fiscal year 2018, we don't have that opportunity. If these bills are struck down, it will take hundreds of millions of dollars out of the budget, and then the legislature will have to decide what they're going to do. Are they going to come back in special session? Will they attempt to pass new revenue-raising measures that meet the state constitution requirements, or will they simply rebalance the budget? And in order to do that, what you would have to do is move money from one agency to another. In other words, cut one agency in order to offset losses to another, and that could lead to hundreds of millions of dollars of budget cuts.
Michael, in 2010, how long did it take the court to reach its decision, and was it a close call for them?
We filed it in late July. It was set for argument before a referee a week or two later. We then were set for argument before the full court, all nine justices, in late August, and they made their decision the day after our argument. There were two dissents, neither of which were particularly substantive on the constitutional issues, though.
And in this case, a number of these have already taken effect. The one that has not taken effect is the tobacco cessation fee. It's scheduled to become law and begin being collected August 25th. So the court will hear these cases on August 8th, and then it has some time to decide before they begin collecting this. In the meantime, however, the sales tax on automobiles is being collected.
Michael, the Supreme Court over the last several years has given directives to the legislature from time to time in some of their opinions. Many of them have concerned log rolling, which is violating the single subject rule in the state constitution. But it seems like over and over again, lawmakers, perhaps under pressure because of time or whatever reasons, keep coming up with laws, keep filing bills and approving laws that violate the Constitution. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think they have to fill the budget hole somehow. I would say that it was a good faith misunderstanding of the difference between a fee and a tax, except for the fact that in particularly the cigarette tax this year, there were two bills that were introduced in the House earlier in the past session that were essentially identical to the one that passed in the last week. The difference was that the previous bills had described it as a cigarette tax.
So is that determinative, that all through the session, the legislature was saying this is a tax, and in the final days of the session, it suddenly became a fee?
I don't think it's determinative, but I think that it does get to how the legislators are looking at the issue, whether it's a fee or a tax.
All right, Michael Ridgway, former general counsel for the State Insurance Department, thanks for joining us on Capital Insider. Sean, we'll talk again in a few days. In the meantime, this is Capital Insider, and you can catch us on KGOU.org and on iTunes. And if you have a question, be sure to email them to us at news@KGOU.org or send us a question on Twitter @KGOU News. Until next time, with Sean Ashley, I'm Dick Pryor.